Okay, we're on lesson 50, page 3, Romans 8, 1 through 4. We're still on verse 1. Anybody need a page 3? One page 3 down there. Okay, pass that down, please. Okay, last time we were talking about, it was 3b, and 3 says, and you know if we are, if we, and you and I know if we are in love with Christ just by the way we obey him. Who remembers John 14, 15? One of those verses, yes? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. And then it says in A, likewise, and by the way, what does that mean? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What does that mean? Huh? Yeah, what's the application to that, Doreen?
Trying to be as much like Jesus as possible.
No, there's an application. If you love me, you'll follow my commandments. The application is you're going to do the word. You're not just going to listen to the word or read the word. You're going to do the word. Yeah. You do? Sure. And what does it mean that, what does it mean to do the word? What does that mean? Live it, absolutely live it. And do we cherry pick it? And what does that mean, cherry pick it?
Pick what we like and throw away the rest.
Pick what we like and not obey the rest. Is that loving Christ? Is there anything in here, is there anything in this word that says anything different than that? Is there anything in there that gives us the permission to obey some things and not all things? Anything at all? Has anybody ever found a verse that teaches that? Because I'd like to know it, because I've never seen one. If he says, if he tells you what a doctrine is, and he tells you what you're supposed to do, then he absolutely means that that doctrine, I don't care if it's drunkenness, I don't care if it's adultery, I don't care if it's stealing, I don't care if it's lying, cheat, I don't care what it is, to God, every single sin is exactly the same. It has to be punished by death. And every sin has to be punished by death. Even your sin has to be, not punished, but it has to be covered by sin. Christ had to be punished for your sin. You will never be punished for it, but there's still a punishment involved in that sin, okay? And when we take God's word and we say that we love him and we say that we want to worship him and we want to obey him, and yet we take things that we don't like in the Bible or we don't agree with in the Bible and we don't live it, we're committing a sin. And what that means is when you do that, you pray, you might as well, your prayers won't even hit the sockets where those lamps are. They won't go that high. And the reason is because he says, if I regard iniquity or sin in my life, he will not hear me. And that's simply what that means. So we have to be very careful about that. And there's nobody sitting at this table, including this guy, that is not guilty of that in some way, shape, or form at some point. We have to always remember, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And if you could actually interpret that, if you love me, you'll follow all of my commandments, period. So we want to remember that. And then it says, likewise, if we know it, we know if we love our flesh or the world more than we love Christ. How do we know if we love our flesh more than the world or than Christ? How do we know that? How would you know that you when you sin, you're loving your flesh? So how would you know it? It's a sin, right? But how would you know it was a sin? The Bible tells you that, but what else? You'd feel a conviction of it. And what happens if you're sinning and you don't feel the conviction of it? What does that mean? Huh? No, that's more for a lost person. For a saved person, what's the Bible say? Do not what the Holy Spirit?
Grieve.
Quench, grieve, quench. Same thing, right? And what he's saying is, If you continue doing something that you know is a sin and you're not being convicted anymore, buckle up, because God is going to put something in your life that you're not going to like, and he'll do it either with you or with somebody else. And I can tell you that every single time. Why? Why will he do that? Why will he make sure that that sin is cleaned up? Why? He's holy. All that stuff is true, but there's a specific reason why. Because you can't be his adopted child and live in sin. You can't do it, number one. Number two, he can't give you any grace unless you're out of sin. He can't give you the blessings that Ephesians 1:3 speaks of. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. He can't do that. He's limited to what he can do. Now, this is God, and he limits himself because he'll never let you go. That's the main reason. Because if you're doing something wrong and you're not correcting it, he will never let you go. So he has no choice but to put something in your life that he knows will make you change. And he knows will make you change. How do we know that? Because he's what the Bible calls omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Everything. So he knows. He knows if you're grieving that spirit. And if he does, he's gonna keep you because he bought you with his son's blood. And you're far too precious for him to let go. That's why I tell people, you can't get nobody can take you out of God's hands, not even yourself. Nobody can take you out of God's hand. And you'll find that in John 10. And see, and we know exactly where everyone knows exactly where they stand with God. 1 Corinthians 11:28, let's kick off there. 1 Corinthians 11:28, Charlie, let me get there first, Charlie. 11:28 is, yep, go ahead. Okay. Okay, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, but he says, and there's another place in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Go there. Maybe that's the one we should have read instead, but here we go. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You read that one, Jeff.
Examine yourself as to whether you are in the flesh. Test yourself. Do not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified.
Reprobates. Disqualified. Examine yourselves, says in King James, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. First he says examine, right? What does that mean? There's two parts to that text. Examine yourself. What does that mean? Take a look at your life.
Yes.
And then it said, prove yourselves. What does that mean?
Yes.
Bingo. You examine your life and then you measure it up to what the scriptures say. And he says to do that. And that tells you if you're in the faith. Everybody got it? There's two parts to that verse. And it's a good thing to remember because most people don't understand that he's telling you to do two things there. And then we see new material. Counterfeit Christians deceive themselves so they can live in both worlds, the world of their flesh and the spiritual world. James 1:22 through 24. Judy.
James 1:22-24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Okay. Everybody understand what that means? Does everybody get what that means? First of all, be doers of the word and not hearers only. What does that mean? Tom? If you just come to church and you just hear the word, and you come to church just to worship and to throw up some prayers and throw down some money and sing a few hymns, if that's how you come into church and you're learning, you're memorizing scripture, you're reading your Bibles, but you're not doing it, what does the last part of 22 say? Deceiving yourselves. Listen, I want to tell you something. You can lie to anybody you want, but the worst person in the world you ever can lie to is yourself. Self-deception is the cruelest lie that anybody ever tells. No lie is worse than that because it's personal. And in this case, it's very costly. So being doers of the word means exercising. It means you come to church or Bible study or personal Bible study, you read, you understand, you take something with you into your day and you apply it to your life, and no matter what it is, I don't care what it is, you have the Bible as your backup. And I want to tell you something, as somebody that knows a lot about policemen, we have one here, one of the greatest benefits of being a police officer is having backup, because you're never alone. And that simply means that no criminal, no matter how fast they are or how slick they are, can outrun a radio. I used to tell people that. I used to see people try to run away from the police and say, what are you, crazy? Why would you do that? You're not going to outrun that guy's radio, right? And so the same applies in the spiritual realm. You have Christ as your backup. You go through this life, he's leading you, and he's backing you up. And how is he backing us up? How does he do that? Galatians 5:23-24. That's backup. Go ahead, Jer. I want you to notice something. It isn't because I'm a pastor. It isn't because I'm this or that. You notice how these verses come right out of my head? You know why? Because they're easy. They're fruit of the Spirit. 5:22-23. You don't have to know them all. Galatians 5:22-24, I think, right? What is it? 22-24, right? Yeah. And that's the backup. Learn these verses so that when you need backup, you may not know what they are. You know you need them, and you know where they are. That thing, Joe, I'm working on. I'm still working on that. You know what I'm finding? I'm using common verses I use all the time, and I want everybody to have a copy of it. But when I start doing it, all of a sudden, these other things come in, and they distract me. But I'm gonna, I'll get it done. You have it. Go ahead and read it, Jer. Galatians 5:22-24.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
That simply means it's your backup. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness. Those are gifts that you have that you can utilize in your life when you need them. And you could add to that comfort, strength, joy. I think that's in there. But you could add all those other benefits that come. Those are your backups. You have to understand something. I can't believe how many people I'm talking to now who's just they're just can't get over this Biden thing. I don't care, because I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says that he's in charge and he put him in. It wasn't Biden that won. It wasn't the fraud that the opposite party did or didn't do. It had nothing to do with that. It simply had to do with God saying, this country is going to be changed, and I'm changing it through that man, whether you like it or not. And so we have a choice. I mean, people are coming up to me. What are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to do nothing. We're going to live our lives in victory. We're not going to live our lives in defeat. The Bible says he puts it in, he takes them out. So let's live with that, whatever it is. And I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, I'm thinking chapter 2, it says that we are not children of wrath. You're not children of wrath. Anything happens, even up to and including death. Where, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Where is it? You don't have it. You understand? So we have to get control. Now, of all the people in the world, now the world out there is really going nuts over all of this, okay? Believing Christian, and even Christianity, so many so-called professing Christians are doing the same thing. You either know he's in charge or he's not. Matter of fact, just because this is on a public thing, go with me to Romans real quick. And Carrie, read Romans. Here it comes. Read Romans 13, 1 and 2. It's simple. And you either accept it or you don't.
Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment.
Boom! Okay? Get it? Boom! Yeah.
And we give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and we give to God what is God's.
Show me, if anybody can show me, I'll backtrack all of that. Show me somewhere in the Bible where Jesus is talking about overthrowing Caesar. Show me anything political in the Bible except give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. Show me anything. And this verse, written is the inspired word of God, says that it's a sin. You are in rebellion against God if you do that. Because he's in charge. You're saying, I don't believe it. You're saying, I don't care what this says. I don't like it. And because I don't like it, I'm going to do something. I'm going to be miserable or whatever. I don't even know what people are doing. I just know that they're crazy over it. I mean, they come up to me and they say, you know, what are we going to do? How's this going to work out? What about this? And they're going to take away our... I don't care. Either he's sovereign or he's not.
That would be God.
He's either sovereign or he's not. Thank you. Thank you very much, right? And if he's sovereign, then all of this was part of his plan. And if we don't accept that, it's sort of like what happens to people who die that we love? Some Jewish guy wrote this book that says, why do bad things happen to good people? He had the right idea to a point. But if you're a Christian, bad things never happen to you. Never. There are things that are uncomfortable that happen to you. There are some things that happen to you that you don't like, but they're not bad. Because if they're bad, then you have to take your Bible and cut out Romans 8:28. It isn't true. You know what this book is like? I just thought of it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This book is like electricity. If you take electricity, you have to have a power, you have to have power, and you have to have a ground. Otherwise, you don't have electricity. Right? Is that right? Okay. This book is electrified by your faith. You generate light in your life by having faith in this book and what it says. And every single time you come to this book or in your life and you're doing something that doesn't line up with this book and you know it doesn't line up with this book, you're shorting yourself out. Zzz, zzz, zzz.
And it stays.
It's like an old motel light going on and off. In some B-rated movie. Zzz, zzz, zzz. That's how many Christians live. They live just like that. Like a B-movie motel light, spiritually speaking. You get it? You can't do that. And you know, I got to tell you something. This is the thing to kill me. Before all this happened, go back 2 months. There was the Insurrection Act was signed. There was the military. The Space Force was going to do this and all. The radio blogs, the blogs and all the people that conjure up all these things, they were saying, oh, don't worry, that inauguration day ain't going to happen. Biden's going to jail. He ain't. He's inaugurated. Okay? How do those people get on the line now, and why would anybody listen to them ever again? They were all wrong. And they led you wrong, and all they did was play on your emotions. That's why I don't believe in that stuff. You have to understand something. You're children of light. You shouldn't be motivated by politics. You shouldn't be motivated by anything except this book. And if you take your life, and you know what's in this book, and you don't do it, then you're just like a B-rated motel movie where the lights flicker on and off. That's your faith. And you want to know something? That's terrible. Because if you do that too long, God is going to correct you. I'm telling you, he will correct. He won't let you do that. You're too valuable to live your life like that. That's fear. That's the big thing with this political thing. It's fear. They're going to take something away from me. If your roots, if your pegs are in that deep, you're already in trouble. Biden doesn't play a role in it. Let him loose. This is not your world. You're just passing through. This is your world. Everybody get it? Yeah.
I do, Pastor, and I agree with you. It makes perfect sense to me and what was said. But what is a concern to me, and I don't know if this means anything, but the passages following what we just read.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Make it sound like whoever is in authority would be doing what's good. So
no.
You should follow them. No, it doesn't say that.
It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil wilt thou be not be afraid of the... In other words, we're looking at it from a literal standpoint. If God put him in,
yeah.
First of all, did God let Satan test Job?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think Job thought that was good?
No.
No. Okay. The same thing here. He says he's not for evil because everybody that's in there is going to work out of whatever they're doing, whatever he put them in there for, is going to be to further his plan. And in my view, and I'll put it over here, judgment. So even if they're doing Adolf Hitler, there was a reason why he allowed Adolf Hitler wasn't voted in just by the people. God allowed it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Did you read the book Sovereignty of God?
I'm not sure.
You would know if you read it.
Okay.
I'll get you a copy. You got to read it. That book sets it up. He's either sovereign or he's not. And if he's putting somebody in that's evil,
right.
Let's say, sake of a conversation only, that the political agenda right now changes America and we turn into all of this thing we don't even recognize. It wasn't them that did it. If that passage we just read, and if you believe that God puts kings in and he puts them out, then he put them in for a reason. We never think about this. You know, we look at us like, oh, well, we're Christians and we shouldn't suffer. Poppycock. Christians have always suffered. Number one. And number two, what has America as a country done? Since the 19, I'll go back to the 1940s. What has we done since the 1940s? So what in the world do you expect? You want to know something? Truthfully, sometimes I think Biden's too good for us because of what we've done. What we did. What we've done. Everybody get it?
Yes.
In other words, when you think about now, you know how many women can go to every state in this union and get an abortion? Do you know that almost every state now sanctions same-sex marriage? Every matter of fact, I just went to get a wedding license today, a marriage license today, and I almost had a heart attack. The town clerk says, "Mate, raise your right hand," and we did. And they said, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, everything on you filled out on that thing? You tell the whole truth, none true, nothing but the truth. So help you God." I went, "Yeah!" It's like she said, "By God's name," I couldn't believe it. We've taken God and we've so dishonored him in this country in the last 100 years. I'm surprised this has worse hasn't happened. Worse. And I'm not sure that it isn't going to happen. But I know this. I care, but I don't care. I care because it's going to affect me. It's going to affect my grandchildren. It's going to affect me personally, as I said, and my grandchildren and their children perhaps. I don't know. But I know this. A sovereign, righteous, holy God is bringing it to pass. And he's promised every one of his kids that everything that happens to you will work out for your good, including a corrupt political system. It will work out for your good. Just dare to believe what I tell you. I can't even imagine, what Christ was thinking when he was carrying that cross up to Golgotha. Knowing as God, having the nature of God, and knowing what was going to happen to him in a very short period of time for you and I. So it's a sin. It's a terrible sin of unbelief for you and I to know what's in this book and not obey every single one of it because we don't like it. It's a terrible, terrible sin. And I tell everybody listening that if you're doing that, stop it. Confess with a contrite heart. Get right with God. You want to get through this mess? Then that's the way to do it. Otherwise, buckle up. Yes.
So I'm reading here in Joseph, the last days of Joseph, when his father passed away. Mm-hmm. His brothers were nervous.
Good verse.
So what happened was, I'll read it. When Joseph's
stop. You got to give book.
Sorry. Genesis 50:15.
Just 1 second. Genesis 50:15. This is a perfect verse for that, by the way. Perfect. Genesis 50:15. Okay.
Genesis Genesis 50:15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did him?" So right away, they're focused on themselves. They're not going to God.
Boom. And that's what the political scene, Christians are doing in a political scene right now. They're focused on them. They're not focused on what God is doing.
So you have a man of God's response to what's going on.
Exactly.
You have man's
now finish reading.
So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sins, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept, and they spoke when they spoke to him." So here it is. Here's Joseph. He weeps.
Yep.
They would even
bless you.
They would even think such a thing.
Yes.
Okay. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants, not God's servants."
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
"We are your servants."
Mm-hmm.
"But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, am I in God's place? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So okay. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them."
Okay.
"And spoke kindly to them."
There you go. What you did, you meant for evil. In the political system, that could be interpreted that way. But he said, but God turned it into good, for it benefited 2 million people, okay? The same applies here. Although this may seem evil, and that answers Anne-Marie's question, although this may even be evil, okay? Maybe it may end up being evil, okay? Ultimately, God will mean it for good for his people. Ultimately. It's either that, or you're in a wicked sin of unbelief, or you're not saved. It's that simple. You have to, and you know something, I don't know why I'm being so forthright with people of late, but I really have. You really have to be sure that you know that you love God enough to do everything he says, not just what you want to do, but everything he says. If you're married, husband and wife, okay, the husband is to love his wife sacrificially, the wife is to submit as a result of that sacrificial love, and it's a circuit, and that's how it works. First the husband, then the wife. The husband doesn't do it, the wife's not going to do it. If you have the word and you know it and you don't do it, then the blessings aren't going to work. It's that simple. What makes God and his word absolute is that it's either yes or no. There's nothing in between. It's draconian, it's called. There's one truth, one God, and you have to accept that absolute truth in all of its various forms, whether it has to do with worship, whether it has to do with giving, whether it has to do with politics. You have to accept the sovereignty of God above all things. A.W. Tozer said, "Our view of God is the most important thing about us because it determines how we're going to worship him." If you're not looking at God as a sovereign God and those passages we just read as being his word, his inspired word, then you really got to do some internal checking, some spiritual. You need to examine yourself really close and be honest with yourself. You do, because only God's people have the power to accept his word and live it. If you can't live his word, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it doesn't take a little struggle. I'm not saying that you're not going to slip and fall once in a while. But ultimately, you give him the glory because you can do it. You can't do it if you don't know him. You can't. You'll get involved with these conspiracies. You'll get involved with all those things. And by the way, if anybody can tell me one good thing that ever happened to them while they were being manipulated by all these bloggers and conspiracy theorists, if they could tell me one good thing that came out of that besides fear, anger, disappointment, anxiety, anything other than that, let me know. I'd like to know. Because there's nothing that comes out of that. Why do you think the Bible says backbiting and gossip is a sin? It's right along murder and adultery. Why? Because it's terrible. It wrecks joy. Joy and faith go down. Peace is non-existent. You have no peace when you're in that when you're in that state. Whenever you have fear of anything, you cannot have peace. Peace is the kryptonite to fear. If speaking like Superman. Everybody get it? You cannot have peace. You can have joy. You can have little tastes of it. But you can't have pure peace or the peace that passes all understanding if you have 1 ounce of fear. Because fear is the antithesis of peace. You can't be peaceful with fear. You can't do it. And if you try to do it, you're just kidding yourselves. And if you think you're going to change the political climate, you're even more of deceiving yourself. You're not. Everybody get that? Everybody? Okay. I think I beat that up pretty good. Okay. Number five. I got to stop taking those naps for Bible study. I'm really getting wired up. It's those naps. It's what it is. It's those naps. I can't help it. Those naps are good. I took a little one. Good.
Yeah, and comforting.
Good. Because, you know, and I'm going back to it again. Either you believe him or you don't. It's always the same. I don't care if his name is Santilli, Pantilli. I don't care if his name is Hulk Hogan. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. God is always right. He's never wrong. All right, number five. Paul finally finishes verse 1 with the answer of how to be a true disciple of Christ, how a true disciple of Christ should walk. Here it comes. We should walk according to the Spirit. That's everything I was just talking about. I forgot it was on here. Okay, A, which means as the Holy Spirit would lead us or prompt us. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. We have to be Spirit-led according to the Spirit, right? What does it mean to be Spirit-led? I'm trying to find Spirit-led. Verses. What does it mean to you?
Walk in faith.
Okay. Walk in faith. What does that mean?
Sometimes we don't understand which direction we should be going in, but if you try and choose a godly direction, in spite of your circumstances, I think you'd be led by the Spirit that way.
Okay. Walking in the Spirit simply means anticipating God and obeying Him as you go through your life. That's what it means. Anticipating God in your life every day, and anticipating Him means that He's in everything that's going on. I looked at the sunset tonight around 4:30 and I said, well, I ain't much here today because it was all gray. And all of a sudden, I took another look. Ooh, the gray was gone and it was a beauty, okay? Not as good as Tom and Doreen's, but it was right up there, okay? And so it changed. Walking in the Spirit never changes. You will never change. It's never going to be gray. It's always going to be a beautiful sunrise if you walk in the Spirit, because you're saying to yourself every moment, you're let me rephrase that. You're conditioning yourself to get up and spend your day considering everything in light of Scripture. Period. You get up, you do things, whatever, have your coffee. Lord, you know, I want to thank you for, I do this every day. I thank God for yesterday. I do. And I don't even thank Him for the whole day today. I thank Him for whatever part of the day you give me today, Lord. If you give me the whole day, thank you. If you don't give me the whole day, thank you. And I just hope today I can worship you and walk with you and glorify you in all that I say and do. And I know, Lord, that I don't do always a good job, but please forgive me those times and those sins. And strengthen me against those and help me. Help me to walk always thinking of you, looking for you in everything I do, waiting on you, not running ahead of you. And most of all, Lord, don't take that peace away from me. That peace you've given me that passes all understanding, that is the most blessed thing you could ever possibly get, is the peace of God which passes all understanding. It trumps everything else, because everything else revolves around you being at peace with God in your heart. And I don't mean from Him in sin. I mean you're at peace with God because you know His word, you know what it says, and you're willing to live your life as best you can to that, and you don't care about those tent pegs. Get them out. Yeah.
What did you say recently about God, where you find Him, how
Yeah, I had a situation happen this morning. I told a couple people. I was waiting for Wendy because sometimes when it's cold, her car gets all frozen up, and I'm up anyway, so I get a coffee and wait for her, and so she can have a warm place while she gets her car, right? So she was doing that, and I'm looking up there, and I've been there, I don't know how many times, a lot, and I park in the same place, and I look up, and this morning I looked up, and there was a tree. There were two trees, and one of them, I went like this, and I went, huh, it was a cross. I never saw a branch go across the tree like this. And then, to make it even better, it had a triangle here, to here, to here. There was 3 points on it. And I said, huh. Now, I'm not seeing faces in trees and starting to worship them. I'm not doing that. I'm simply looking up, and I saw something, and it was a cross, okay? Let's get that clear. I don't want people to be texting me and saying, wow, this guy's really turned kind of nuts. It was something that I saw, and I rejoiced. I thank God for that tree. Thank you, Lord.
So you were kind of anticipating him because of that. It made you come to...
Yeah, that's the reason why, because I was sitting there, and as I was waiting, you don't just sit there, and I don't sit there and just buzz out. You don't just watch people going in and out of doors and cars going by. I was just thinking about how wonderful God is and all the wonderful things he's doing in my life right now and how happy I am. I've never been so happy in my life. I'm just joy. I'm overflowing with peace and joy, right? And I saw that, and I just said, thank you, Lord. And then somebody has a friend that works there, and I've talked to her a couple of times, and she mentioned that she had apostatized from her faith several years ago. And I told her, I said, were you really? Yeah, I went to church. She knew all the Bible verses. God won't give me more than I can handle. He's always with me. He'll never leave me. And all that stuff, right? She knew it all. And she apostatized from her faith. And I said to her, and nobody, I guess, ever told her this before, but she was, you know, she went to church a lot, but she apostatized. And so I said to her, I said, well, the problem is, because she said she was saved, I said, you're not saved. You were never saved. John 10 says, no one can take them out of my hand, and my Father who is greater than I, no one is going to take him out of his hand. Which simply means if you're saved, you can't take yourself out of God's hand. The devil can't take you out of God's hand. Nobody can take you out of God's hand. So if you apostatize from your faith, you were never saved to begin with. You were a counterfeit Christian. Well, this lady almost choked on her bran muffin when I said that because nobody had ever told her that. But it's true. You cannot apostatize. And it was a while, years. It was, you can't do that. So she thought about that a minute, and I said, so if that's the case, I said, what you need to do? I said, you believe in God? She said, yep. I said, you need to pray, and you need to just ask God to open your eyes to the truth. You got a Bible? Yep. Then you got to start reading it. So anyway, I told her that at a previous meeting. So as I'm looking up at that tree, lo and behold, I get a phone call, and Wendy says she can't get out. That she's got a while to go because of a situation that happened. So I said, okay, I'll wait. So as I'm sitting after I hang up the phone, who do I see but this person walking out? And she says, hi. I said, hi. And she said, did somebody tell you that I opened up my Bible and I read it? And I said, well, not really. I said, because we haven't had much time to talk. So she said, I have. And I said, what are you reading? And she told me. And I said, well, maybe what you need to read is John 14 and 15. Read that. And then I said, and by the way, turn around. And there was a steel storage container there. And there was a black SUV in front of it. And if you look straight up there, you could see those two trees and you could see the cross. So I told her, I says, hey, you want to see something? She said, yeah. I said, look up there. I said, you see the cross? And she looked. She goes, yeah, and there's 3 points to it. I said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, exactly. And then I turned to her, and I tell you this, these words never came out of my mouth till that very moment. I turned to her, and without even thinking, I said to her, you can find God.
No, something about, you wrote it down.
I wrote it down, but I said to her, God is where you find him. And I said, and all that is a tree. But it's a reminder, that shape, that symbol of the cross is a reminder that if you want him, go find him. Pray. Well, that lady, I won't say she levitated, but I got to tell you what, she just certainly left that place a little happier than she thought she would, right? And I don't know what'll happen, but the fact of it is, if I wasn't in the spirit, even sitting in a car waiting for somebody, I would have never done that. I could have listened to the radio, I could have been doing notes, I could have been doing anything. But I was just sitting there just thinking about God. Whenever you have nothing to do, there should be nothing, never a time like that. In your quietest times, or even when you're working, if you're having a cup of coffee, or if you're working in the back of your head, sing a hymn, hum a hymn, just hum it. You have to, that's what walking in the Spirit is. It's anticipating God in your life and recognizing him when he's there. And you know what? You will be surprised how often you see him in your life. You'll be surprised. Okay. That's how a true disciple of Christ walks, according to the Spirit. Which means as the Holy Spirit would lead or prompt us. Okay. He prompted me. Oh, that was the other thing. So I could have very well said when I got the phone call that somebody wasn't getting out of work on time, I said, okay, I'll leave your coffee over there in your car, clean it up for you, and I'll catch up with you a little later on, and took off, and that rendezvous would have never happened. Right? Could have done that. Nope, I'm at peace. No, I'll wait. At peace. There was nothing in the world I had to do or wanted to do more when I was sitting there than to think of God. And you know what? I know we all have times in our day when we can do that, even when we're working. Just get alone with them. What does the Bible say Jesus used to do?
Get away from everybody and pray.
And go up in the mountains. And praying is having that relationship with God. What I was doing, I really wasn't praying as much as I was just thinking about God. And then I guess in a sense, that's worship. It's worship. I wasn't praying anything. I didn't have any needs I wanted to met. My heart was just filled with love, and I just wanted to feel that love, and I wanted to radiate it out to him. That's all I wanted. And we have times in our days when we can do that. That's worshiping God. That's being in the Spirit. Now, how is he not going to reward that? How is he not going to reward that? You see, he'd probably say to Jesus, look at that disciple of yours over there in the truck. Look at him. He ain't doing it right all the time, but he got it right this morning, right? You understand? That's what it's about. It's about really falling in love with God. That's, if I had to say what it is, that's what it is. You got to fall in love with God. And you really fall in love, you got to love God. Because if you fall in love with him, then you can fall out of love with him. But if he's in your heart, then exercise it. That's what love is about. It's about exercising. And that's what we have to do. Okay. Okay. Then we talked, and what the Spirit of God produces is seen in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, kindness, patience, goodness. All of those things are the byproduct of loving God. Okay, I'll give you another example. What are some of the byproducts of having a relationship and loving another person? What's the byproducts? On a human level. They love you back, right? What else?
Trust.
Big deal, right? You trust somebody, right? That you love and they're loving you. What else?
Somebody to be there for you when you need them the most.
Yep. Somebody had to be there on those rainy days, right? What else?
To share your life with them.
Boom! Boom. You can share your life. I got to tell you something. I don't know. This is a good time to look at starlings. You're probably saying, what's that got to do with the price of cornflakes? Simple. Birds are gregarious. You ever see them? You ever see flocks of them? They're like little swarms, right? And you, very rarely do you see them singular because they know they're in trouble. They got to be together. They trust each other. They fly together. They eat together. They fight together. They do everything together. Human beings are gregarious. We're not meant to be alone. We're meant to share our life with somebody. We're meant to do that. And people that are not sharing their life, and you know what? For single people in the church, and we have single people in the church, they have the same benefit as anybody else that has a regular relationship, male and female. There's not one of these ladies that I don't love as much as anybody else. I love them. They're my sisters. Well, we have no gentlemen here like that. But if we did, it would be the same thing. You have to understand that we are here to share. And for many years, although I was married, I was living alone. And I never was alone. I had everybody here. I know how much you people love me. I don't know exactly, but I got a real good feeling how much you guys love me. And that's why I was never alone. That helped me through so many nights. Little things like going out in my car and finding a meal that I didn't have to prepare. And when I'd have to go home and take care of a mess that was horrible, it kept me up till 1 o'clock in the morning. But I had that meal, and it just meant when I was eating that meal, all I thought about was the love. You need to have some love in your life. And that's what churches do. That's why we're called brothers and sisters. That's why we're called a family. And we're together. That's why we're called the bride and he's the groom. Everything in the Bible reverts around that. Love is the first thing. Jesus, we're here tonight because of God's love for you and I. We were always the objects of his love. And the way you live your life is you share it. If you're single and you don't have anybody in your life, present time, then what you do is you have brothers and sisters. I mean, I see Carrie and Jerry all the time. They love each other. They do things together. They share their lives together. And even Anne Marie with people. We share our lives, and we're supposed to do that. Love is what it's about. And then if you do that, everything you touch, whether it's bitter or sweet, you'll always leave, and I love this, a little fingerprint of divine love on everything you do in your life. And people will see it. And that's your light. Your love is your light. It's a fingerprint of love from God. And you have it. But you have to exercise it. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit does. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Everything I just said. Okay, and then it says, and if a soul has these fruits in their life, one, they can be assured they are a genuine Christian. Love, joy, peace, kindness. If you have that, if you can exercise those gifts in a divine way. I don't mean love being conditional, like, you know, I love you today because, you know, you got a paycheck and we can go out to dinner. Maybe not tomorrow night, but, you know, tonight will work, right? I don't mean that kind of love. I'm talking about the love that is unconditional. I love you no matter what. Period. No matter what. If you have that kind of love, that's divine love, then you don't have to worry about all those other things, because if you love that way, then all those other things are just as true. All of those things will be in effect. And I want to tell you something. If the world is missing something, it's not politics. What the world is really missing now is true love. There's no love in the world. There's no love at all. There's no, in my view, there's no Americans in this world. We're parties now. We got one party here, one party here. There ain't no love between them. And that's why we are the way we are. And that's why we should never be a part of that. We should love no matter what happens. We should not be affiliated with any party that hates. And that's exactly what both those parties do. They hate. Shouldn't be affiliated with them. You are not hate mongers. You are love warriors. All right. And then it says, two, but if they don't produce fruit, they may be assured that they're not a believer. If you're going through your life and you cannot, and I'm going to use the word, produce fruit, divine fruit. If you can't do that, then you better read 1 John, 5 chapters. Keep reading it until you get the message. Any question about that? Yeah.
I was just reading that recently, and I was trying to understand what the fruit is that you should produce.
Fruit is love.
Okay.
Everything you do in love, okay. Even when you don't like. Matter of fact, especially when something happens that you don't like, do whatever you have to do, whatever you have to put up with, do it in love. Don't do it. Don't do it with any anxiety. Don't do it with any fear. Don't do it with any hesitation. You know, I got a terrible thing. I got a terrible thing I got to do on Saturday, but I'm going to do it in love because I care, but I don't care.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Kindness. Be kind to everybody. Patience. I said to Wendy, she says, "You wait an hour for me?" I said, "Sweetie, I'm a hunter. I was born to be patient." I really was. I was born. I mean, I sat and still for 2 hours, freezing, waiting for a stupid deer to come by that never did. But it was okay. I had fun. I was in the woods, right? Patience means to be patient with other people. Kindness means show kindness, which is a form of love to another person. Long-suffering. You know, people don't like to... I had a very big problem when I got saved because I had, before my salvation, I had a very difficult time with people I deemed as idiots. I had no patience. I had like 0 minus 1. I mean, really, I did. And it was very difficult at first, but I have to tell you something. That's how I know I'm saved. One of the ways I know is because... I have patience for people now that go beyond anything I could have ever even imagined. All the fruits of the Spirit can be exercised, but they have to be exercised unconditionally.
So that you would say that, like, a definition of the fruits is your patience, your kindness.
That is the fruit. It's one fruit. Okay. It's like a cluster of grapes. It's not the fruits.
Okay.
It's the fruit.
Okay.
It's like a cluster of grapes. There's like 10 grapes. There's like, I don't know, 8 or 9 gifts.
Yeah.
And those are gifts. Those are actual gifts. They're like faith. Faith is a gift.
Okay.
And you can exercise those gifts in your life every day. And I want to tell you something. They're put there so that you can.
Okay.
Anybody get that? You get that? Do? Yeah? Okay. Because it's important that you understand that those are things that you must exercise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Then he says in, we're in verse 2. Let's stop there. Anybody have any questions about anything we covered tonight? We'll stop there.